You are listening to CORE, powered by and for the Holt family of companies. Let's dig in.
Welcome back for another episode of CORE. I'm your host, Peyton, and this is episode 4 of CORE, titled, What If? Today is October 26, 2023. CORE was developed to strengthen communication within our company and serve as a continual reminder of the reason that we do what we do. Over the past few months, we have explored a few of our first core values, and now we're on to our fourth one, appropriate risk. Appropriate risk is focused on the future, cause and effect, if you will. When looking towards our future as a company, I brought in two of our fearless leaders, Ken Monroe and Ryan Beatty. Ken and Ryan were instrumental in the launch of CORE, so I am so excited to finally have them actually on the show. Welcome to CORE, Ken and Ryan. Would you mind introducing yourself?
Sure, Peyton. Thanks for having us on. We were wondering if we'd ever get invited. It's really exciting after months to be on the show. My name's Ken Monroe. I am the president of Holt of California. I started at Holt August 1st, 1989 as a backhoe salesman. Went on to be a truck engine business manager, the marketing manager, the vice president of product support. And then in December 31st, 1998, became president of Holt of California. I've been in that position ever since.
And I'm Ryan Beatty, senior vice president. I have responsibility for the earthmoving division, the engine division, SciTech West, and corporate safety. I started 28 years ago in September. There's a debate that I was actually born here. I wasn't. I've been through a number of jobs, started in the parts department in the warehouse, and I've worked in the yard, and spent a fair amount of time in marketing and Six Sigma. And most of my career, though, has been in earthmoving product support. And I started the role of senior vice president in 2019, and I've held that since.
Incredible. This episode is focused on appropriate risk. It is defined as taking risk on new ideas or products that are well thought out with defined goals and implementation plans that will bring us success. I mentioned before, think about this as a cause and effect or an if-then statement. If we test an idea, then positive effect will change. So we have asked each of you to send in what-if statements or ideas that you think would have a positive effect on the company. Responses have been pouring in over the last few weeks, and I know Ken and Ryan are very eager to answer these questions. All questions were submitted anonymously, so employees were able to submit true suggestions. Now, Ken and Ryan have never seen these questions before, so this is going to be very exciting for all of us. How are you guys feeling about getting to answer these employee questions live?
You know, Peyton, I like to go around and do town hall meetings with my divisions on a fairly regular basis, and I'm never surprised by some of the questions I get. So I'm really looking forward to it, seeing what the employees have to say and giving some thought to the answers.
I'm hearing some serious confidence.
So our doors are always open, and we've always extended ourselves to have people come ask questions. The challenge we'll find is if they really want to hear our answers, since sometimes what they'd like to hear isn't what they always get to hear. So this might be more on our listeners' side being a little concerned what they hear from us after they get our answers. But I'm looking forward to it. Should be good. And we're always open for questions.
Perfect. Well, open communication is a two-way street. So that means that when we ask questions, we get answers. And then we turn around with more questions. So let's get right into those questions. Our first question is kind of a fun one. The question this listener wrote in was, what if we had a technician-based podcast for techs, by techs / TCs, utilized to discuss tech tips, diagnostic tips, current service bulletins, and any other pertinent info released from our manufacturers that may need to be broadcasted? I am really happy to hear that the idea of a podcast is resonating with people. Now they're asking to get into a specific topic. So what do you guys think about that?
A technician-based podcast is a great idea. In fact, I think I brought it up to our current manager of TCs about 4 months ago and said, we ought to do this. So I'm all in.
You know, I think it's a great concept. I know the earthmoving group and the engine group both have quarterly meetings already that involve the manufacturers to do this very thing. And so what I'd love to see is that grow into something that's captured and broadcast, because there's a lot that changes hands there, information wise, that would absolutely be relevant to everybody.
Awesome. All right. So you'll find that we've received multiple submissions regarding teamwork and training across divisions. Employees have shown that they really care about learning and working with other divisions. So what do you think about that?
I think that's excellent. I think that each division can learn a lot from each other. We have a lot of forms for that currently, be it the service managers meeting that ebbs and flows in its attendance sometimes, but I still think there's some very valuable idea shares that go on. So I think it's fantastic getting people to communicate and share information and tips and tricks.
I'll be the voice of reality. I have been trying to get people to work cross-divisionally for, 24 years. And I hear a lot of talk about, wouldn't that be great? But then I don't see much action. So if people would just step in and start communicating with other people in other divisions, I'd be very supportive of it.
Okay, so on that same topic, one individual asked, what if we had lunch and learns from other divisions? This individual mentioned possibly having a short PowerPoint to introduce what our other divisions do. For example, a couple of Cat Rental Store employees give a presentation to a couple of Whole Ag Solutions employees. Whole Ag Solutions employees give a presentation to Power Systems.
Yes, please. Go for it. Get started. Don't wait for permission on stuff like this. Start working with each other. And if you're one of those people that really wants to make this happen, please make it happen. Don't wait for one of us to say it's a great idea.
Okay, up next, one individual wrote in, what if we had a centralized warehouse for parts? Could we serve our customers better, manage inventory, and reduce over or duplicate stock?
How much time do we have today, Peyton? This has been a question that we've all been pondering for probably the last 5 years. There are some upsides to having a bigger warehouse centralized, and there are some downsides to it in terms of transportation, getting the parts all together. So again, if someone wants to step up and put together the plan and show us how this works, we're all ears on how that might work. It is definitely something that we're evaluating as we look at our different stores and we're running out of space in warehouses. Maybe a good idea, but it may not be a good idea.
Next question has to do with our employee appreciation and Holt pride. What if we had a family day every other year or every year?
You know, every day at Holt is family day for me, tongue in cheek, right? But I agree. I would love to do more things as a company to get to know each other. The challenge becomes the scale of it. And you can't build one single event that attracts everybody. No matter what kind of event you do, somebody, it's not their cup of tea. It's a long distance. It's harder for our Oregon family to come down to California. That becomes the struggle when the company gets to the scale that it is. And I would love to see the company do more things together. I encourage in my departments, bring your department together. Go do fun things together. Go celebrate life with each other. It doesn't have to be a full-scale, total company family day to take pride in where you work and the people you work with. So I encourage everybody to spend some time trying to figure out how to make their workplace a little bit more fun and a little bit more like family.
I'll go along with Ryan in terms of doing it. We did do them. COVID kind of put a pause on a lot of these, but what people don't realize, these are put on by employees of Holt. It's a lot of work. And I don't think the people who actually do the work get the kind of recognition they should. People just say, let's do that again. So if we could get volunteers to participate in this and not just depend on the same people over and over and over putting it on, it would be easier to do. But it is a big endeavor to put on a big show like that.
It most definitely is. Okay, so a different individual submitted a follow-up question. What if we had a family day in Oregon?
I think we did actually last year. We didn't have a family day, but we had an event for them where they all got to get together and have what they decided they wanted to do. So Oregon adds another element of challenges a little bit to California. Some of the far-reaching stores are a good 2.5-3 hours from Central Oregon. So one of the challenges is, where do you have something? We let the Oregon folks last year decide on what they want to do, and they came up with their own event.
On the employee benefits side of things, the following question was submitted. What if we had on-site daycare for employees' preschool children? There would be a fee per child at cost.
Great idea. Which site would we like to do this on? Biggest issue we have. We have 24 locations. We don't have one location that's any much larger than any other location. To find people to staff all of those different locations to provide quality for care, child care throughout the system is just logistically almost impossible. And to provide child care for just one facility or two facility, to me, just doesn't seem right for the whole company.
Okay. Next up, here's a great question. What if the flagship group projects were available to read on the hub? And before you answer this one, can you guys explain to our listeners what a flagship project is?
Happy to. Flagship is a program that Caterpillar puts together, and they've been doing it, I think, fairly annually. Each dealer from our region sends a group of folks to Flagship, and it's a pretty intensive 3-week long, over a course of months, learning experience for future leaders or current leaders. And the culminating event is a project, and they divide up the group into different smaller groups. And it's typically a cross-functional team from different dealers, and they have situations that they go try to solve. And it's supposed to simulate or be a realistic issue that we're all dealing with locally. So the idea is you bring a lot of different perspective together and you go solve the problem. There's been some really great projects that have come out of Flagship over the years. And, you know, I think it would be great to have on the hub. What you lose when projects are available on the hub is the context. And part of the projects is the presentation piece and the explanation of where they came from and how they got there. And I think if you just had a PowerPoint on the hub, there's probably not as much value there as perhaps getting everybody's permission to film the presentations. And then you could have a video available or something like that. That doesn't exist today, but I could see it being a valuable asset. Absolutely.
Okay. This next one is a really fun one. What if there was a contest within each division titled The Dumbest Things We Do, where employees could submit various policies, procedures, publications, reports, tasks, etc., that are thought to be really dumb and should be considered for elimination? A significant prize would be awarded for the dumbest.
A great idea. I would hope that people are feeding this up to their managers and supervisors now, and their managers can debate these and determine what really works and what doesn't work. We also have a little button on the hub that says employee suggestion. Anybody's more than open right now and have been for years to be able to put in employee suggestions. If you think something's stupid and doesn't work, let us know. We're happy to talk about it. Now, turning it into awards may be a little different. I may take that personal since it might have been my idea to begin with. But we're always open to hearing what's not working. So feed it up through your managers and could turn it into another button on the hub. It says, here's your dumbest idea, but you could start doing that right now.
All right, moving on. What if we had a team building service, parts, and management training?
You know, I guess I would need just a little bit more context. We do have a management session every March, typically where we do get together and talk about how to build and grow this business. We don't do trust falls or things like that particularly. So it's not as, you know, maybe traditional team building, but we do spend a fair amount of time working in our teams trying to make the company better. So we do have a structured team building management training. Just maybe a little bit more context about what exactly would be a great idea and how we could build that into what we do, because, you know, having people work together as a team is critical to everything we're doing around here.
So how could this individual provide more context to you? Is that something they should feed up to their manager? Is that something they should go to the suggestion button on the hub and say, hey, I think that there's a lack, because this individual obviously sees a lack in team building training, working within whatever team they're a part of. So how can we streamline that training?
I think all of the above that you just mentioned would be fine. We're always looking for ideas. If someone wanted to come see Ryan or come see me and explain a little bit more where they see the problems are, we think, generally speaking, people work pretty good together. But if someone sees some real gaps, then they need to feed that up to us. So all of the different methods we've got in place work, or grab us in the hall. If they want to be a little anonymous, we're here to fix things, not go throw people under the bus. So we're happy to hear more ideas. But to Ryan's point, it does really help a lot to know what someone means by that. And what are the details they're talking about?
Okay. Yeah. This podcast, this little what if statement exercise, is just kind of a throw it out there. Let's see what sticks, right? So all of these individuals wrote in these submissions. Hey, this is something that I see. So what we're telling all of you is that these are great ideas. We want to hear more. We want to hear more about what you think this would look like or how you think this would help the company. So make sure that you're not just throwing in your what if statement to the podcast, but really try and bring that up. Give your examples of how this is going to work in the real world.
Well, and just to add to that, Peyton, I think, you know, Ken has mentioned, and in this answer mentioned the different methods for getting stuff to us. And one of those is the employee suggestion box online. One of the challenges with that employee suggestion box is it can be reasonably anonymous, or it can be anonymous actually. And so it's hard to go ask a follow-up question. And what I find is I spend a lot of time solving a problem that I think somebody's having instead of being able to actually ask them what the challenge is so that we can be direct about it. So I would say in this kind of environment, we're talking about team building and growth and management training, be specific and really come by and talk about it. Because without knowing what you mean and without being able to ask questions to say, am I solving the problem that you're asking? It makes it really challenging to go out and make an impact. So I would ask that, I understand anonymity. I understand that it can be nerve-wracking maybe to pop into Ken's office or mine and ask a question, but it makes it a lot more challenging for us to make sure that the problem is getting solved.
Awesome. Okay, our next question is, what if Holt made employees respond to emails, voicemails, and missed calls? So this was all of the information that this individual provided, but I want you to answer as in a, what if there was a requirement to respond to messages between colleagues within parameters, for example, you must respond to emails within 3 days, 3 business days, unless you're out of the office, something like that.
I'm going to treat this a little broader. So I kind of follow the golden rule. Having a policy is fine, but my expectation when people come to work at Holt is to treat each other the way they'd be treated. Some of the people I hear complain the most about someone not responding to them is the same person that doesn't respond to other people very timely. So I think this is just good, simple, treating each other the way we need to be treated, whether it's an internal or whether it's with our external customers. And I am all for this. I work hard on returning any kind of communication I get my way in a timely manner to people, and would expect everybody to do the same thing, not because it's a policy, not because we're going to punish somebody, because it's the right thing to do to take care of each other.
And I would expect that you have just a few messages headed your way every day. Okay, our next question is, what if we acquire more ag business to grow our business?
Okay. So let's step back again. We are here to grow our business. And when people talk about growth, there's two aspects of that. And the first aspect, the main aspect, is we have a territory that we're trying to be the best in. And in some places in our territory, we're a clear leader in market share in all the things we do. And in a lot of places in our territory, we're not. So growing ag, growing earth moving, growing the material handling division, growing rental, right now we have huge opportunities within the territory we've got. So I say, yes, go for it. Go grow our business within our territory. If other opportunities come up outside of our territory, we will take a look at those, evaluate them, and make sure that it makes good sense for us to potentially grow that way. There's lots of opportunity to grow our business within our territory. So let's go do that first.
Awesome. Okay, so next up, we have a couple of questions regarding a post-COVID workplace. So our first question is, what if we had more work-from-home opportunities for administration positions?
So in our company, close to 3/4 of our people have to be here at work and have to be engaged. And from my perspective, everybody who supports those folks need to be around here also. So if you want to work from home and not be engaged in what goes on around the business day to day to day, this probably isn't the place for you. We really want to be here to support our parts people, our technicians, our rental counter people, our salespeople, all the folks, and most of our managers who are here every single day taking care of our customers. And everybody needs to participate in that. One of the things we found after COVID was we've learned to be a little more flexible with people than we maybe were in the past. And that ranges across a full range of things as far as helping people, like a Zoom meeting. There was a time not too far before COVID where we didn't have virtual meetings. You came. So we spent a lot of time driving around. And one of the things we learned out of COVID was, gee, we can probably be much more efficient and effective by a little more flexibility. So we do provide a little more flexibility when someone has to go do something or work from home or provide a meeting where they don't have to drive so far. So we have a little more flexibility than we did in years past from that.
All right. Our next question along the same lines is, what if we had the opportunity to flex our work schedule where you could work 7 to 5:30, 10-hour days, and have Fridays off? This is for non-union employees and no overtime.
You know, we've talked a lot about flex time and different timing schedules over the years. And the reality of it is we are here to service our customers. And our customers are farmers who, frankly, in season run 23 hours a day, 7 days a week, and contractors in the summertime who are 6 days a week. And we need to be here Monday through Friday to support those folks. And so that's really the reason why we haven't been able to really consider this as a shift is our contractors expect us to be there. Our farmers expect us to be there. The people who are unloading ships expect us to be there. So we can't be as flexible because we have to help them do their jobs.
Our next question is, employee physical and mental health is of the utmost importance to Holt. With that in mind, one individual suggested that we just encourage people to take breaks and go on short walks throughout the day. From a policy standpoint, what would be your response?
I would agree. I think everybody needs to step up for a moment. They have regular scheduled breaks. They have regular scheduled lunches. That's the appropriate time to get up and go. I'd add to that, I would expect everybody to take their full vacation every year. One of our big challenges is we have a lot of people who don't. And they need to. You need to get out of here for a little while and get your mental health back. Absolutely agree with that. The other part I will add to this, though, we live in California. California has some very, very onerous employee-employer relations rules. While we try to be really flexible with all of our employees, we have been in a couple of situations where those rules and regulations, if not followed or if not accounted for, limit our flexibility, and it puts us at a very, very big financial risk. So part of this lack of flexibility is just living up to what the regulations are in California, which is very frustrating as an employer.
All right. So our next question is, Holt is well intertwined with our local communities. So one employee asked, what if we had a form to request sponsorships of local activities like Little League teams?
That's an interesting idea, and we're always open for some ideas like that. We try to make an impact through all of the areas we serve. So we do support a lot of local organizations right now. Most of that support usually comes through a customer's request and is managed as, for lack of a better term, marketing dollars by the different divisions. And then if there's bigger requests that are more just community support, typically those work their way up to me to support it. Now, if we did something like fill out a form for to support your local Little League, remember we have 900 employees spread across two states. That's a lot of Little League. So no matter what we do, there's going to be a limit in terms of the dollars available for that. So if we did something like this for employees, they'd have to understand that there would be limits in terms of how much we could do and how much we would do every time, because there's just so much to go around. And we try to make the biggest impact we possibly can for each community that we serve. But we're open for ideas. We're open for thoughts. So this is something we'll kick around and see if there's a way we could possibly allocate some dollars to support the local little leagues or whatever else might be in the communities.
Okay, our next question is, what if we had someone who went to high schools and promoted Think Big? The amount of good candidates would only get so much better.
You know, we do a fair amount of high school outreach today for Think Big. We do have dedicated resources to do that. But one of the things that I would ask all of the folks listening to get involved with is go get involved. I sit on two ag advisory committees for FFA chapters in my area on my own time, just for this reason, to get more people in excited about Think Big. We also, a couple of former Think Big students a couple weeks ago went out, and the local high school just reached out and said, we know you went to Think Big. We'd like to hear more about it. So we had two of our technicians go to a local high school and talk about Think Big. And so as those opportunities come up, jump in the ring. Everybody should go out and talk about Think Big. It's a great program. Our recruiter does an excellent job talking about Think Big to his groups that he talks to, but absolutely. I bring in the candidates. We could use all that we can get.
We have dedicated resources who call on high schools right now. My concern is Think Big is not big enough. Think Big can only handle so many students a year. So I would ask of our employees is to go engage at their local high school levels and try to get what we used to call shop class, which is now CTE, going in their local high schools. Educate those high school kids that coming to work at Holt as a technician is a great job, great career. You don't have to get into debt. You can actually make money. We're working with a number of school districts to try to help that out. But Think Big is only a small, small portion of what we can go do. And we need all of our employees' help to go get, if they have kids in high school, go rail on the high school to get CTE into their school. And we will help them grow the CTE and the technician training coming out of high schools.
For our next question, one individual put a lot of thought into this question. So please take time to listen and respond to it. What if there was a trainer for coordinators, one person for all divisions? This individual also provided an explanation and an idea of how it would work. The trainer's roles would be to teach new coordinators the rules and systems and the proper procedures. They would also work with current coordinators to make sure they're doing things correctly and informing them of new updates or helping them steer away from bad habits. They would travel from store to store and sit with the coordinators one-on-one. The trainer, ideally, would sit with new managers as well to show them the systems and procedures so they would know what their employees do on a daily basis. They could fill in at a location when a coordinator has scheduled time off, instead of either the location being shorthanded or having a manager step down or having a TM fill in for a period of time. Nowadays, from a personal opinion, no one is willing to step up and help properly train or guide new personnel. Many a times, in all divisions, new people are left to sink or swim. A trainer could be beneficial for the employee customer-wise, internal or external, and cost-wise. Investing in employees and properly training them creates a possibility for tenure employees, which in today's environment is rare. Tenure employees who are good at their job make a better work environment and a successful business.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well thought out question. The struggle can be when you're talking about one trainer for all divisions. So all of our divisions use different software to get stuff done. If it's a service coordinator versus a sales coordinator versus a rental coordinator, those are three very, very different skill sets. And so trying to find one person who could do all of that and be a resource for the entire company might be a challenge. Do I think that there should be a trainer for a service coordinator role? Maybe a trainer in the rental space would be absolutely appropriate. The other thing that is a little nuance here is this is a very unique individual. They have to have a very highly tuned skill set, but also be able to communicate that skill set. I would be absolutely willing to look into this as a role or as a series of roles for the right individuals if we could figure out how to scope it correctly.
Ryan's got a great idea. I thought you just learned best by making a lot of mistakes and then you figured out how to get better at it. So maybe I'm old fashioned that way. So I think we'll listen to Ryan on this question.
Well, I think that's something that is really cool that not a lot of people know about is there's a lot of skills that transfer across all of these different roles. One of them being like customer satisfaction. And we bring all of our employees together from all different divisions to be able to complete trainings like this on specific skills that will apply to every single one of their roles. Soft skills. These more technical skills, like Ryan, you said, it's going to be difficult to get one trainer for all of these different positions with all the different softwares and machines and everything that they work on. We already have some of these soft skills trainings in place. We're talking about hopefully getting maybe a couple technical training roles in place. What would you like to see to bring this idea to life?
You know, I think it's really just sitting down and scoping out what that person could do. You know, you want to make sure, no matter what, when you create a new role, especially, you want to make sure there's enough for them to learn and grow. Right? Because we all find job satisfaction, or at least a fair amount of people do. I know I do, from being able to learn new things and grow every day. And so you want to be able to create a glide path for this training position. What does it look like? What is the day going to look like? What's the week going to look like? What are the expectations? So I think it's really sitting down and again, going back to talking to who wrote this question and say, what gap are we trying to fill? If it's a rental coordinator, you know, where's the immediate need? Is it rental? Is it service? Is it sales? Parts coordinators? There's not as many of those, but they are out there and they have a different skill set. So I think it'd be a prioritization of skill set, trying to figure out what it would need to look like and then scoping it out and making sure there's enough scale to give somebody enough growth opportunity.
Great. Okay. Well, that wraps up all of our questions for today. But I wanted to ask what you two thought about starting these conversations and how employees can continue to reach out. We talked about the suggestion box on the hub, the virtual suggestion box. How should employees continue bringing stuff to you? And how do we make these ideas that they have brought come to life?
You know, I think all of our division vice presidents, division managers are very welcoming to suggestions. And I would encourage all employees to continue to interact with those folks to try to bring some of this stuff to light. You know, don't be scared to bring something up. Put some thought behind it. Don't just ask the question, but come up with an idea. Some of the best things that I've heard the last couple of months have not been, hey, go solve this problem for me. It's, hey, I found this problem and here's an idea. And sometimes that starts the conversation. And I think that's the beauty of this podcast today is, you know, there's been some stuff that's come up through the questions that I thought, I wonder what we could do about that. Now, the challenging part is everything's anonymous. So I may go solve your problem and not know exactly what I'm solving. And that's where the conversation really comes in. That's the appropriate risk piece of it. And what I always tell employees when I'm talking to them is, you know, if you care that much and you really want to make a difference, be part of the solution. There's no reason to be anonymous about it. Let's just go ahead and you know, work together and try to figure it out. So keep bringing the stuff up. You know, Ken's door's open. My door's open. I know all the other executives feel the same way. We want to make this company a better place to be. And we want to make it more exciting and more fulfilling for everybody every day. So let's have a conversation. Pop in. And, you know, if I look busy, it's okay. Get my attention. We'll set aside some time because I love that. These are my favorite kind of conversations, actually, is how do we grow for the future?
So for those of you who have submitted these ideas and those of you who have these ideas stored in your head, because I know we all have brilliant ideas, come bring them up to people. Come into Ken and Ryan's office. They, as they said, their door is always open. And give your context, explain what you're really thinking about these ideas, and then let's start putting the pieces into motion.
I think what stifles people quite a bit, Peyton, to be honest with you, is somebody will bring up a really good idea and I'll start asking questions. And it's not because I don't think it was a good idea. It's because I really want to get to the meat of the problem. And a lot of people, when you start asking questions, they start to wonder if maybe they shouldn't have brought it up in the first place. And I just want to know more, right? So that's the piece that we all need to figure out how to get past is, you know, sometimes the great idea you had, there may be a rational reason it'll work and a rational reason it won't. And you just haven't thought about it yet. So we need to be open to those conversations.
Thank you guys so much for coming on this episode today and responding to these questions that our employees have. You can tune in next time to an exciting new episode called Rumor Has It, where Ken is going to be back on to address the rumors that have been floating around the company. For the past couple of weeks, you have been submitting rumors that you have heard about through the company. And in the next full-length episode, Ken will be addressing those live. Get excited to tackle our next core value, loyalty, honesty, and integrity. Thanks everyone for listening, and remember to keep building, keep growing, and keep listening to Core. We'll see you next time.